The Disjointed Podcast.
I'm just surprised that Dimitri is like, and that's your setup.
No, actually, we're cheap here, you know.
We go with open source.
Yeah, we have the ads on our blog. We're making a euro a day from the ads, so eventually we'll get the mics. It'll take us a couple of years.
But appropriate way to start. I mean, I never did a podcast. I have to, you know, be straight with you guys. But the thing is that, you know, I want to start with, like, have you ever thought about it, like, a Spanish guy, a Finn, an American, and Russian. Like, we should go into the bar, man. You know?
That's true. But that's the thing. We can make this live, you know, with somewhere else. Also, like...
No, I mean, like, you know, all the like jokes start with, you know...
Yeah.
Go into the bar and something's happening. Well, we don't have a bar, but we have quite
Although,
a cozy
worry, we have one over here. The one that Bor and me named the 112.
112?
Yeah, because you know that is the emergency number.
Yeah.
So then we call it the emergency bar. Because that one is like, it's owned by this divorced Russian woman. Yeah, and then the crowd, the normal crowd of the bar is like a 2 meter tall red ponytail hair, transvestite, and the whole set of drunk people, and a guy that has like an arm chopped from the Uzbekistanian war. No, some characters there that are. Bert has met a couple. Those guys are
actually, it's not like,
and they're like a family. They even have like a picture where all of the if you become a regular customer, they take a picture of you with the bartender and then they name it in the wall. So everybody that you see on the bar, half of them are in the wall. That's when you see that you have a good customer.
That's loyal. Is it the same place where Otto was?
Yeah, where he stole the carpet.
It was a poncho.
Well, a carpet turned poncho.
Yeah, actually, speaking of, I was, like, I'm Russian, living in Helsinki, right? And I was thinking of a place, like, where can you get some homemade food and, like, you know, real Russian stuff, you know? But because, like, you can get some, like, pre-made food or frozen food in a shop of Russian origins, but, like, I mean, the real one, you know, that they make themselves. A friend of mine showed me a place called Pelmenit, and they serve the best fucking pelmeni ever, man. It's like, you know, you just...
They say nice borscht.
Borscht as well.
Borscht is awesome.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, fuck, it tastes like home, dude. Really? I mean, that's the best.
Where's the restaurant?
In Karlio somewhere. I don't remember the street anymore. But...
Don't they have this expensive restaurant in Ada?
Yeah, they do. Right next to, like, your place where you used
where
to
live.
It's fucking expensive.
Yeah, but it wasn't...
They have bear there.
But it's fucking, I mean, it's overpriced altogether, you know,
in the menu sometimes passing there. It was like the plate, they had it in the announcement there, the plate of bear was like 60 euros or something like that.
It was expensive. I wonder how fresh the meat is there.
Yeah, imagine that. And how did they kill that bear? It was some truck drivers in the middle of Russia that they just shoot the motherfucker and then they sell it in the next town.
Yeah. What, they sell it the motherfucker or the bear?
No, they just ran it over with their truck. It's a roadkill.
Hey, and I was actually, I never asked you this, yes, but it's a story that I wanted to know from you, Dimitri. Is you went to the fashion festival in France, no?
Yeah, but I'm straight, man.
Yeah, but you were there in all the shit, like you were hardcore. In the, did you saw all the shows and everything, and then you went to promote all the shit that you were selling?
No, but it was like, it's a, in a sense, it's like there's, in Paris there's this fashion week, right?
Yeah.
And there's like shitloads of many other like events that are connected, and well, one of those events is the accessory show, which was held in January, in this January in Paris, and it was like everything starting from hats to umbrellas to bags and totes and whatever. It was presented there in scarves and shit. And so we were there with the company, like this. I don't want to even, on this disjointed conversation, mention.
Oh, no, you don't have to, you know. But I saw the pictures that you were in the limo and then...
No, it was from Moscow.
It was from Moscow.
Moscow.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
Yeah. I wasn't. I'm not that often in limos, but when I am, I'm in Moscow. Yeah.
But it was you were also like in the, at the same time it was a fashion week there.
It was, I think, upcoming or something.
Because you told me that it was like something.
Yeah. It was connected to the fashion week.
No, I mean, asking you, like, was it that nice? Like all the girls around. France,
it was like, especially these, like the events that surround Fashion Week. Fashion Week is something like something to show, you know. There's nothing much of a professional work on the surface. It's just like, you know, cute babes in underwear, all that shit, you know, crazy out of space gear. But all of the other shows which are connected with fashion, it's like you expect to see a fucking blonde, over 60, you know, liposucked chick with a, you know, like, oh my god, I want that. And I didn't see that, but I saw more of like a professional fashion. Like, they're doing business, you know, they're just selling it like almost by kilo or something. Mm.
Because it's a business.
Yeah, totally. You know, it is. Yeah, and like depending on how well you made your name before you went to the fair, you know, the better you will succeed there. Or I don't know how. But
even the funky, or even just the whole part of like the beauty contest and stuff is a complete. But hey, didn't the Miss Universe took out Donald Trump from the bankrupt almost?
No fucking idea.
Because supposedly, like, Donald Trump bankrupt completely, and then he bought like the rights of Miss Universe, and then he owns Donald Trump. Yeah.
Wasn't it his show from straight away? No.
What?
Wasn't it his show from very beginning? No.
I don't think so, because it was older than when he bought. I think that he bought it and then he took it out, like that he recovered his money because he was bankrupt like in 90. At the end of the 90s, he was bankrupt. And then he, like, bought it and then pushed it up again. And then that's how I know the story. I'm not completely certain. But I know that he bought it.
Mm.
And I don't know that he still makes a lot of money out of it.
Mm.
And especially all the sponsors, you know, like all the Cosmopolitan brands. And
about bankruptcy, by Manu's recommendation, I've seen the... because I haven't seen it straight after it got released, Smartest Guys in the Room.
Oh yeah,
awesome stuff, man. I love the way they turn everything into this riddle, you know, like almost a religious level.
I haven't seen one.
The smartest guy in the room is the documentary about Enron.
Brilliant. Yeah, like a documentary made like supplemented with some different opinions and all that.
Mm.
I like, whoa, really watched it, really enjoyed it. Awesome.
It, like, it has a plot to it, but it still is caught with some interviews or something.
Is it a documentary or a movie that's based on fact?
No, it's completely everything based on fact.
Yeah.
Everything is,
yeah.
They
factual,
tell you
factual,
how 100%. Enron fucked up.
Because it's like, it's history already,
yeah,
and
they are
you know, they're in a position where they can investigate how it was.
They interview exactly all the players, and they have made a story of how it happened, and really they point the best way possible how it happened.
So is it similar to Inside Job?
No, this is more of a documentary type.
But isn't Inside Job? It's a total documentary.
The thing is that this is, it has a plot to it also.
Which, Inside Job?
No.
So it's like a documentary film, that it's not a pure-blooded documentary, that it's...
It's like something in between.
Is it acted? You know, do they have actors that are playing the parts?
No. It's like real people.
No, it's not, no. It's, okay. You have to see it. It's like, it's, but it's a documentary.
Okay.
Yes, it's similar line. If you call it a, you won't call it a movie.
Yeah. Have you seen this Inside Job?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a
You should watch it. It's good.
But what?
I like it. Yes.
It's about the downfall that we have in economics right now.
Oh, okay.
And how they think that...
I think I've heard of it, but I never saw it.
You know what movie I saw yesterday?
Mm.
Brilliant. Similar to those lines. Very well written. The end is not as good as the beginning, but they build it up very well. They just made it. It just got released this year. Marginal Call.
Okay.
It's a Kevin Spacey movie.
Demi Moore.
It's just new,
just
renowned.
Yeah,
right. You can find it online. It's a brilliant movie. It's about the firm that they're representing, like some J.P. Morgan, for example, or some Merrill Lynch.
Mm.
The ones that saw the downfall of the economic system a day before it happened, and they recreate the. In the 2 hours of the movie, the 24 hours since the guy noticed it, and how it happens, and how they bring the downfall to everybody. No, the thing is that...
Is there anything that they're trying to make money out of?
Yeah, no, that's the point. Okay. That the thing is that they're the ones that discover it, and they show you how they try to recover as much as possible, and they manage, but they were the first one, and they fuck everybody up. And that's what happened. And I think it was actually either J.P. Morgan or Merrill Lynch, one of the...
Mm.
But, trade companies that really didn't get fucked up.
Yeah.
Like they sold or they had. That was the one that brought the collapse because they sold all their assets on one day completely because they know that it was going to happen. And if they didn't do it, somebody else was going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's the story of how somebody noticed, then there was. You have to see it. Marginal Call.
Cool.
Very well done movie. Yeah, and it seems slow at the beginning, but then you get on the hook, you're going to like it.
This reminds me of this, this is from real life, Lehman Brothers. That was, you know, they were giving it AAA rating, which is the top rating that any bank or anything can get, and they were giving it that two or three days before it went down, and it collapsed, and the US government didn't give it any bailout money. So... 2 or 3 days, they were saying it's the best bank in the world, basically. That it had all the funds, that they had no problems. And, you know, Monday comes and they bankrupt it.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That you have you have to see that movie, and it's true. They make this point on what you're saying, that they had to, like... Even if they were on a down streak, they still have to build the confidence, the customer confidence of the people that buy the stock, and then still put it like, we are selling at the best. Even if we're going down, and then even at the point that we're actually sinking, what they do is that, hey, you know what?
We're sinking.
They did a brilliant quote in the movie that I think that is the best, and that's how they sold it. Yeah, is that my loss is your gain right now. So they called everybody, all their brokers to be sold too. They said, you know what? I'm here on a downsizing. Yes, my loss is your gain. You're my friend. You're my friend. Yeah, I sell you this much, and it's like 72 million of something. Yes, and it's like at how much? And it's like at 56. Oh, but the price market is at 92. You get it now? Okay. Boom. And then we're just closing like 30% less because they wanted to get rid of everything because everything the next day wasn't going to worth 25% of what it worth.
Yeah, that's
how it happened. And that's
it
why it's
would have caused, it would have caused like a negative balance.
Yeah,
it would have been worth even less.
That's the thing, that their organization wouldn't have worth less than even what they owe. So not even they couldn't even like pay what they owe. That's why they sold everything. So at least they have something to back the company to. But everything that all the assets, let's say that they sold all the assets. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's what, and normally these companies work, these big traders, they trade mostly right now with mortgages.
Yeah.
And mortgages, that's the thing that they have, like a
pension funds.
They're mortgages. They that means that they have like a deadline. Every 90 days, they actually remove themselves.
Actually, Bert.
So the problem is that you need to hold them for that long.
Mm.
So that's why if you sell them in between the periods, yes, you can sell them for cheap.
Yeah, I think it works that that you buy something from someone at this moment, you sell it, you get that money. And then you buy it back in 90 days.
Exactly.
And then you expect it to be a lower cost, so you make money.
Exactly.
Because when you give it back to them,
it's the differential cost to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
it's like the marginal cost.
Shorting.
Yeah, it's shorts. It's shorting, and it's the marginal cost that is produced by just the holding of that good through its devaluation. But the problem is that the thing is that these guys made so much business to it and put so much money just balanced to that trade that then it fucked them up completely because then everything was actually being traded through the mortgages. Yes, like on mortgages stand. That watch that movie. They explain this and it's very well done.
There was one thing actually. I wrote. I read an article from Peter Thiel. This. How was it called? A venture capitalist, serial entrepreneur, the one of the biggest investors in Facebook.
Mm. Yeah.
So anyway, so he was saying about the thing that and was concerning mostly like American approach towards education. He said that you should think like fucking 10 times before you enter university. Because, like, as he believes, what used to be like a dot-com bubble when everybody was investing like in the 90s into developing dot-com enterprises and all that shit, like then eventually turned into a real estate bubble as well, you know, people buying and selling and all that. Like he says that the next bubble, according to him, would be the educational bubble when you are not able to pay out your study loan and you're stuck with a mortgage for the fucking rest of your life.
I think
it's true.
Isn't that what this...
Moodle is non-profit and has made billions. Blackboard?
Mm.
Yes, those educationalists.
But isn't this that you can't pay for your student loans or whatever they're called. That's basically what this Occupy Wall Street is also claiming, that they're part of the 99%.
Yeah.
Okay, you're claiming something different.
Because there's many people who say that they're doing law school and they're aiming for this 1%, but just because of all the costs, they'll never make it. And they're saying that so many people want to get into higher education now that there's not going to be enough work for these people.
Mm.
And they're basically going to be left out dry.
But I agree, yes, on what they're claiming. But the problem, if you think about it, even if it's they're turning it around, because in at least the people that are university students are complaining about that. Because the thing is that the main issue there, I don't think that is that the banks. Okay, yeah, the banks are charging too much interest for the money they loan. I agree. But anyhow, the problem there is that in America, as in many other countries, education is overpriced.
Mm.
Way overpriced.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's the thing that like I agree, but the problem mainly there is that hey, it is inhuman. Really inhuman, like it's just squeezing money of somebody. If you pay a tuition for a university for 6 months, that costs you $50,000.
Yeah, but if you think of the root of the problem, it's the tax thing, because they get a lot more money in the States than we do. Their taxes are lower, and that's why they pay for healthcare. That's why they pay for school as well.
The thing is, if the taxes were higher, then they would be able to pay for the healthcare.
Yeah, and for the schools.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but not for university. Universities right now normally are privately funded in many instances.
I think many of them have sponsors.
Yes, but that's the thing. They're sponsored. That even if what you would call a sponsor is a private, they're privately funding them. Yes, and the thing is that they privately fund them mainly for the purpose of research. So how can a university like MIT? Yes, hey, that university is a sponsor all the way to the teeth. You know, they have money to put out, and still, that's one of the highest tuitions that a student has to pay to go MIT. In a good computer engineering degree of MIT, is like $80,000 or $90,000 US dollars a year,
for a
semester.
No, I think it's a year.
But still, $80,000-$90,000 a year. That's 45. Just the tuition plus the living of the student and everything. That guy, after 4 years, if he done it quickly enough and everything, and he's not actually working because those are demanding degrees, he needs to actually ask for a loan for $1 million. So
well,
he's
maybe not $1 million, but
well,
I think
if he works in the evening and that kind of thing, at least $500,000, at least $500,000, you do ask for a loan. The loans normally for the states are between $300,000 to $500,000.
I think in the states it's usually that the parents pay for the schools.
It depends a lot.
Yeah, of course, I actually
had to take out a student loan to get my 2-year degree.
But I think the thing is
that the interest rate on a loan was really cheap, but I didn't have to pay it back at the time. So yeah. I actually started working as soon as I graduated, and I was able to pay it back within 6 months or something.
Nice.
I think I read from somewhere that the average loan amount that people who graduate have is around $36,000 or something like this.
But I agree with that.
I was making around $32,000 a year.
$32,000 a year.
Yeah, which was not enough to really live on. It's not enough.
But think about it, that's not the most part of the universities, but a lot.
About the same as a high school teacher. Maybe a little bit less, but yeah.
But it's not enough
to live on.
I know. But maybe it's just the fact that also I'm talking maybe in this case about the most expensive universities. Yes.
Like they are
from one side to another side, but there's many that are completely overpriced. Yes, even in some other countries.
Harvard lawyers, when they graduate from school and they go, what do you call them when they go to a firm to like?
They like an internship or?
Yeah, it's internship. I don't remember what they're called. Interns?
Trainees?
Like they work in pro bono?
Lawyers that do work for free.
Oh, paralegal.
Paralegals, yes.
Yeah, something like that. But I do think they get paid, but there's... No, they're associates or something like this.
They get paid, but they get paid really little. They're actually training them. Is there practice?
It's not little. If you compare it to prices in Finland, these
paralegals, yeah. I know what you mean.
They make more money than, you know, they'd be in the 1% in Finland. But of course, because they don't get taxed that much, that they lose a lot of that money into living expenses and everything else. But they do get paid a lot, but they don't tax the things that we tax in Finland, for example. So they have to pay a lot more for other things. Like they get a lot more bills monthly that we do in Finland because many of our bills are already in our taxes, so we don't have to worry about that.
I used to get paid every 2 weeks.
Yeah, in many countries you get paid every 15 days, that's true. In Mexico you do many times, it depends on the work that you're doing.
That was really nice, just to get a paycheck every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks, I got paid like every 2 weeks in Finland.
Yeah, me too. I think you can... Well, some jobs might give you it to you monthly, but it's funny how they do this. Even in Finland, where when you're paid your salary, they don't give it to you straight away because they can make money when they just hold it for you. You know that's
all. You know that's illegal in the States.
Really?
Yes.
Well, in Finland, they straight away invest it because it's basic economics that you know. money that you have now is worth more than the money that you have in the future.
Yeah.
So $1,000 now is worth more now than in 5 days, for example.
Absolutely.
And of course, if you have just $1,000, then it's, you know, it's nothing. But when you have a company that has 100,000 people, and you hold these $3,000 for 5 days, but you have 100,000 people working for you, that's a lot of money that they make from this.
Yeah, the interest that that can create,
yeah,
on a 24-hour, you know, they trade it for 24 hours or,
yeah,
for actually 7 days. Normally they do it, like, they deposit you the 6th. That means that the 6th, they have it already, like, the 28th of the month, because that's the cutting day.
I think even banks do this, you know, when it takes 2 days or something we have OP Bank in Finland, for example.
Yeah.
And when you transfer from OP to Nordea, which is another bank in Finland, it takes 3 days, I think, to go in between.
Sometimes, yes.
But, you know, it doesn't take that long. It's they invest it.
Yeah,
you know,
they could do that.
They make some of the money back.
Yeah.
During that period.
Yeah, because it's like free money for them in the moment.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, if they have a secure investment, and that's what actually a lot of people that are the well-paid, clever people in banks and in investment firms, they know how to trade that money just for a short amount of time with a secure gain.
But,
yes, and then they gain. It might not be a huge gain, but the problem is that the issue is that they have a quantitative gain.
Yeah, yeah. But the bad problem we had recently was that people got cocky and they thought that the economy wouldn't, you know, fall down, and then they started taking risks. They had this free money basically, which they didn't want just to put it in government obligations. They wanted more money.
Exactly.
So they started taking risks.
You're right,
and,
but that's,
you know,
the thing.
And then the risks started falling down like dominoes.
That's the problem, that you cannot trade a they were starting to trade risk.
Yeah.
Because a mortgage is trading a risk.
Yeah.
Because actually you're trading a contract between other people.
Yeah.
That you don't know if they're going to fulfill. Yes, and it's not even you're backing it up or anything. You're trading a paper that you own, but
yeah,
you're just owning the benefit. You're not owning anything of the parts.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. That the thing is that you're trading just risk.
Yeah, and this is basically the same thing as what happened in the States with all the houses. All the loans from, like, they were giving loans to anyone in the States who wanted a house. And what they did with these loans is that the banks or the financial system in the States, you know, they give out the loans, but they wouldn't keep the loans. They'd sell them to Europe and everywhere around the world, because they get, you know, they'd get a profit from that. And so the banks in Europe would hold those, for example. And then, you know, shit starts crashing. They don't have the money to pay back. And that's how the collapse started in the housing business. And it's just, you know.
No, that's true. And right now, the companies that are...
Free.
Yeah.
You know, it's a free money in between. It's a 2 days in between transferring money from OP to Nordea, where they think it's free money and they can use it for whatever. But because they started taking more risks and they put that wherever they wanted, because they thought they'd make more money.
Yeah.
And because of those risks, that's why, you know...
And you know what? You know the funny part of all the story is that right now, a lot of those investment firms... That I actually started checking that before I saw that movie, because I found it quite interesting. What happened? I questioned it. What happened to all those firms? Because there were like around 50 to 100 firms in New York, at least big firms, that completely got fucked.
Yeah, the big ones bought them.
Yeah, exactly. And what happened actually with those departments? And then I started checking, and you know what they did? These big companies, they bought the small ones and they transformed their departments to collection agencies.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, it's a brilliant move. Those guys are exactly, because they say, okay, you know, we just fucked the market. What happens? Everybody that had an investment long term got fucked.
Mm.
Now everybody is going to either ask for a loan or need to pay the loans that they already have.
Yeah, they're owing you all.
So we already know the customer base. We already know how they work, and we have all their names. So then they just went to the other companies and then say, hey, you know what? I have all these, and I know how this I can collect.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's a it's Machiavellic. Yeah. But this, like, you know, it's exactly the same thing that I say of the Twin Towers. Yes, I know that it was wrong, but it was a good idea. Yeah, I say the same thing.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
The setup?
The setup, you know, it was...
You think that it wasn't, you know, Al-Qaeda?
Al-Qaeda doesn't exist.
No. I'm not claiming, you know, who was it or anything. And my point is that if you wanted to hurt somebody, yes, the best type of scenario,
it was
they
not
did
the broadcast
it, you
know? For Ask a Russian Question. Does Al-Qaeda exist? No, it doesn't. We continue the conversation.
No, but it's not the fact that I'm saying that Al-Qaeda exists or doesn't. Yes, it doesn't have to do with that. It's the idea that, you know, it's a brilliant,
it's the plot to Fight Club.
It's like a movie kind of a thing, you know? It's like, it's very well planned.
Yeah,
this
but Fight
one
Club
is also very well planned.
You know,
it's like
American
very well done chess. That's my point.
What are you saying about Fight Club?
I was saying this psychophrenic in a sense.
Yeah.
Well, it's based on the psychophrenic.
Yeah, the
it's
guy
pretty,
is.
But the,
yeah.
The thing is, he blows up three towers.
No, he blows up many. They're like
but they're
blows up everything.
Yeah, that's, you know, they were like Visa and American Express, so all the data goes out of, you know, people who owe them money or something like this. So like all debt is erased or something.
Yeah, that's what he wanted to do. Yeah. That all debt is erased.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the...
What a
the,
brilliant movie that
the,
yeah, it was.
The
well done.
Towers in New York were lawyers and... there's a lot of banking industry in those towers, too. That's why I said it's the plot of Fight Club.
You do Nordic walking?
Yeah, I have tried Nordic walking a couple of times. I like it. I think it's nice.
Right?
I never tried it. It's a good exercise.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. Very, very good exercise. You know what I've been doing lately? I've been doing this Kundalini yoga.
What's that?
It's a mantra yoga. It's okay. You don't do it like, it's not like a power yoga that you stand up and do a lot of like hard stretches or anything. You're mostly, a lot of the time you're sitting down.
How?
Like lots of position. Kundalini yoga. It's the oldest form of yoga invented, and you also need to you need to follow a mantra, meaning that you need to actually either for an idea or a chant when you're doing a certain position.
Okay.
And it reaches actually altered state of consciousness. What you do is that you're resonating in your brain, or what you're actually, you can actually say it or you can just think it. But it's like a partner of words, like, let's say, like, Om Mani Padme Hum. That's Sanskrit for I'm one with the universe around me. Yeah. And then you either say that loud or at least tone it in your head while you're doing the center, the exact position.
It's rapid.
And then it puts you on a correct mindset. So... good exercise. Yeah.
All right, we'll wrap up our part one. We're making food next, I think.
Yeah, we'll take a break.
Right.
And we're back with part two for podcast six. We're still here with Manuel Barron and Dimitri.
Coating of the chicken wings right now that we're gonna have for dinner.
And Dimitri is finishing his vodka.
We just started talking about Occupy Wall Street, and Manuel was saying that the people there, they don't have an agenda. They're basically almost rioting, but there's no central cause, or that's what my
There is a central cause. I'm saying that their claim is a cause, but there is no way to resolve it. Let's call it that way. Like, they're claiming something that they're not also. Normally, when you claim, oh, they're having too much taxes, I want taxes reduced this much.
But
like, my thing is that how they are gonna stop Because their claim, it can continue forever, because how are they going to stop it? The only way to stop it is actually, okay, to change the world, but then you have to also claim of how to stop it.
Yeah, but I think one of the things they're saying, and this was also on Joe Rogan, is that they want the financial system to be clear and simple. You know, all this stuff about shorting, about buying loans and everything like this. You know, Enron is a really good example of this. If you can fool accountants that they don't know what the fuck is going on and they're stealing money, or this Bernie Madoff, he was the is it leader, you know, chief executive officer of NASDAQ, I think. You know, the stock exchange in New York. For many, many years. And he was ripping people off for tens of years. I don't think he was the head of the stock exchange anymore then. But you know, if you can fool people,
but that's how he got all the trust from all the other ones to get all the capital him to invest it somewhere.
Basically a pyramid scam. Is that what you call it?
Wow. But in the most the finest of level, in the extremest of levels, so it couldn't be traced as a pyramid scam, because you can see it with 10 people or 15 people if you do
it. But you know, if you can do this for tens of years. And you know, the highest persons who know the most about it don't see through it. You know, that just means that it's too difficult. It's there's too many barriers to see through. So everything should be transparent, even in the financial world. And now they have so many different things. You know, a loan might be sold to, you know, tens of different systems. It'll be diluted. And that is a
the problem is that a lot of assets that governments trade and invest and put a lot of capital on, they're very intangible assets. And they're assets that they go from the interest of something, or just the interest on a certain time that something would create. Or they go even to some extent to just the rent of the containers that will house the oil from this port to this port.
Mm.
They even invest on that. They call it petrobonuses, and it is one of the biggest commodities in biggest trades. Yes, and it's like you invest on the containers that house the oil that is going to transport them. Because you have to cope to the insurance, and the insurance for transporting oil is super expensive. So that's why there are commodities that are very well placed, very well put in a short term. But that's the problem. That the thing is that all those make the system so complicated and so redundant. Swaps, for example, are the most stupid things ever created by man. Yes, that is just how long you hold a stock.
Yeah.
That's what it ends up to be. It's like, if I hold it for this certain amount of time in this occasion, then I'm going to get more if I hold it here in this other market. It's crazy.
But I don't think there's any
problem. I think it's wrong to... The problem is that I think it's wrong to trade on things that are either, first, not tangible, and second, that do not generate any either work or wealth. On like production level. Hey, you invest in corn, rice, coffee. Fuck, you're creating jobs at this end of the... Why are you investing of how many old people actually owe to the bank?
Yeah.
That's the end of the run. Why? You shouldn't trade that.
I think when you're basically investing other people's money, that's the thing. You know, when you have money in the bank... Let's say in Finland, Nordea. I think Nordea has, let's say, 1 million customers, something like that. 1 million customers. And let's say this is a number. I have no clue. In Finland.
But it's multi-Nordic.
But let's just think about Finland. Let's not think about Nordea as this big thing.
Yeah. Wow.
So Nordea in Finland, let's say it has 1 million customers in Finland.
Okay.
Let's say... This is no true number. It has no basis. But let's say all of these million people, they have €1,000 in their bank. or in their bank account, and let's say all these million people go at the same time to Nordea and want to withdraw, they go to Otto Automaatti, and they, at the same time of the day, same day, they want to withdraw 1,000 euros. The bank wouldn't have that money.
Hmm.
You know, they'd go bankrupt. Most of their money is abroad. They're trying to make more money out of it, because what they're betting it on is that not that many people will withdraw money at the same time.
Mm.
And that's how it works. I don't know, just a recap for you. 1,000 people, no, 1,000,000 people in Finland invest in, or have money in a bank account in Nordea. All these 1,000,000 people on the same day, same time, they go and withdraw the money from Nordea. And Nordea doesn't have that much money because they're not expecting that everyone would withdraw it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're investing it. And that's wrong. You should not be able to invest other people's money. If you just do that, then it would be so much more transparent because they'd have to do business on their own revenue.
But that's the way the banks cope with interest.
Yeah, but they should somehow have that. You know, they just take a part of the interest for themselves. You know, that you could only get money from the part of the money that's growing.
It's because originally, that's the thing, yes, you're right, right, and the thing is that the banking system started the way that you say.
Mm.
And the thing is that there were two types of accounts. One account that you put your money there and the bank couldn't do shit with it. You know, you own your money and then you just save it. It was a saving account. But then banks found this loophole of saying, hey, you know what? If this very little money what they have, we have so much that anyhow, if one retires and takes it, we can cope with it, but we can use it and reinvest it and then put it somewhere. Yeah. That's what they did.
Yeah.
Originally, it was what you say. And originally, I think there were laws that that claim what you are actually saying, that it should be that way, that the person had to decide what to do with his money when he was putting it somewhere. And that's when 28 days investment started and that kind of thing, and start putting
it. Now it's basically you lose the control of the money that you put in. You don't have any right to say, unless, let's say, you buy gold or something and that you actually have something, but that won't grow in interest. Although the price of gold might go up and down, so that's not a safe investment even then.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the moment, gold is at its highest price. So.
And it has, right now, if I had the money, I would invest in gold.
I wouldn't. I think even that's not safe, because at the moment, we don't know where the economy is going. Is it going up or down? At the moment, it's been a downward spiral. But it might start going up at some
point. But even in hard times, gold is still what you call a
commodity.
Not only a commodity, but it's affected by the economic system, but it still has a precious value on its own.
Yeah,
that can be put
the price of gold when the economy is bad, like the financial world, when that's in turmoil and going down, the price of gold is going up because they think it's a safe harbor, because they think that gold can't go below some price.
But that's how they keep it, and because of that it almost stands. Even in the time of war, what they did is that they didn't put their money in the banks.
They buy
gold coins.
Yeah, yeah, because that's always going to have some value.
Exactly. If you get overthrown by any government, that's the thing, that your coin, that gold or whatever, is going to be value everywhere.
But then if the economy starts rising and you've just bought gold, then you're basically losing money because you won't get enough or the same amount of money back for it if the economy rises, because usually that's when the price of gold goes down.
True, but it won't ever go
to zero. No, it's happened. That's why it's gone up. Like, it's gone almost 50% up recently.
It hasn't happened till the 1920s crisis.
No, it's gone up and down. During war, the price of gold goes up, and after war, when the economy starts rebuilding, that's when the price of gold goes down. So it does have these peaks and lows that it follows all the time. So it is basically the same thing as the stock market, except in the stock market, a company can go bankrupt. When in gold will never lose its total value. Gold will always have some value. There's never going to be a time when, you know, it'll be you know, cheaper to hand out gold than paper, for example, or, you know, because gold will always have a...
But why wouldn't you invest
Have you seen these?
Yeah. Well, if the economy starts going up now, then the price of gold won't be that valued.
What if they're not?
Well, if the economy doesn't go up, if it goes down, then the price of gold will start, or it'll go even higher. So if you buy gold now, it'll be worth in a month, for example, and then you can get more money out of it. So the price does go up and down. It's the same.
Yeah,
with oil.
It does. It fluctuates. But have you
the difference with oil and gold is that there's a specific amount of gold that we can't really get anymore because it's so deep in the earth, and there's not that many deposits that you can find on the surface anymore. So, you know, there can't be any more of it. But there is already that much gold in the world. But oil is running out because we think we've already hit peak oil, that we can, you know, that oil production is going down every year from now on.
Mm.
And because of that, that's, you know,
because there's less
oil, the price is going up because there's going to be less and less. It's not the same thing for gold. Gold is just based on the, you know, the you know, what's happening in the world. If it's good times, gold is going to be cheaper. If it's bad times, gold is going to be higher.
Yeah.
Because it's a basic commodity that you won't run out of. We don't use gold, you know, we don't burn gold. We don't put gold in our cars.
No, yeah, I agree. I totally agree because at the end of the run, the price of a commodity that has consumption to it, yeah, of course, it's going to be much more than the one that, you know, it's a good of luxury.
If it's a commodity that we're not running out of, then when we produce more, then the price will go down. But
absolutely,
if we're running out of it, for sure.
You know that, well, I can show you this in YouTube, and it's actually quite cool. There is a reportage that they had in Al Jazeera that is called I don't know if you saw it, Tommy, that is called the truth why they invade Libya.
Which? Libya?
Yes, and why they killed...
It
wasn't Joe Rogan's reader. It was like a 4 or 5 minute documentary.
But isn't because the gas company... The country didn't anymore want to pay to Shell.
No, these guys go more deep in it. These guys say there, in the documentary, well, in this 5 minute reportage, that... And it's from Al Jazeera. That Gaddafi made a deal 6 years ago with the African Union and with the Arab countries to start planning a currency that was printed on gold, that was made out of gold, because they realized that all Africa altogether, plus the Arab countries, had more gold together than everybody else. So what they wanted to do is that, and Gaddafi was the one that was like the head of the movement, and it was an underground movement, about making this currency and then placing or backing up all their oil to be sold on that currency. So they produced a modern amount of oil, they had the most amount of gold, and they would put whatever price they wanted to any barrel of oil that they would sell.
Mm.
Yes, because it was also based on their own currency. And they would actually completely shift and shed the whole fucking economy out completely. Yeah. And because of that, they went into Libya and then they do that shit. And they documented the thing there in the Al Jazeera documentary. Mm. And it's crazy. When I saw that, I'm like, wow. You should look at it. It's called, like, the name of the video is The Truth Why America Invade Libya.
Mm.
Or, Invade Libya and Kill Gaddafi. Something like that.
Mm.
And it's like 6 minutes. It's very well done.
The thing I heard, you know, it's basically on the same grounds. But what I heard, I'm not sure if it was Libya or if it was another Muslim country, is that, you know, when they're... You know, Shell and Exxon and they're drilling for oil in these Arab countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've invaded them before and they've got the rights to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did in Kuwait, because, you know, when Iraq was invading Kuwait, and those had a lot of the US oil companies were there drilling oil.
Yeah.
And Iraq goes and tries to invade Kuwait. No, the states don't want to give their oil wells, you know, to Iraq, so that's why they went to help Kuwait.
Yeah.
And what I heard in this news story was that this country, it didn't anymore want to pay to these companies who are drilling the oil from their country and selling it abroad. And if they wanted to buy the oil that was drilled in their country, mm-hmm. they had to pay the same amount of money for it than for example, what we had to pay for oil in Finland. They didn't want to pay that price because it's basically their oil. It's drilled from their land.
Yeah.
And so what I heard was that the country said that, no, we're not going to pay any more for this, and we're going to take back the oil wells. That you can't ask for a price like this when it's drilled from our land. You know, you're a foreign company.
Yeah.
And so I heard that because they were saying that they're going to take back the oil wells, that they're not going to pay Shell and ExxonMobil or whatever, you know.
I understand. Yeah. That's also a very real possibility.
Yeah.
And actually, they did the same, or they're trying to do the same in Ethiopia and in those areas with tobacco. Philip Morris, you know, there's like an international price for the kilo of tobacco or for the ton of tobacco.
Yep.
So the thing is that because of that, Philip Morris goes there, and then sometimes the farmers, instead of buying the truck completely with 5 tons of tobacco for this price per kilo, they say, oh no, this time I just pay you this little. And then they are abusing of the system, and then the farmers don't want to do it anymore, and then the tobacco companies go there and says, okay, it's my seed of tobacco, so then I'm going to take all your land away because it's... So then they end up with nothing, in theory.
Yeah.
But these guys pay shed loads of money to the governments to actually be allowed to put a lower price on the tobacco thing.
Mm.
And maybe similar to what happens there.
Yeah,
but of course, there it reached a point that then the government got pissed off or the person...
But this is a good point to how... This is basically the financial system taking power. You know, it's these big, big, big companies that have all the money in the world. They have enough money to start wars. That's how it seems like. You know.
Yeah.
But we're not getting our product. Go there and get our product back. You know. But I think it has been the American way. All their wealth comes from wars, and you know when haven't they been in a war? There's no time in history when the USA hasn't been in the war. Maybe in the before World War One, maybe. What about after that? After World War One, there was such a bad.
No, but you know, even after that, because exactly after they finished their own war, you know, their independence war.
Yeah, they had the Civil War.
And after the Civil War, they straight went to a war with the French for Mexico.
Oh, right.
And then when I went to a war with the Mexicans, yes, for 20 years, and then when they were just finishing that war, they started the First World War.
Yeah.
So, no, it's a...
Yeah,
they haven't been in that. The whole history of the United States.
It might be like after the world wars, because those were so huge, and they, you know, think how much money you get from a war. You can build all these companies that make weapons and everything for you.
Yeah.
And people give you more money because they want to win these wars, because they think it's all right. It's all right for you to tax me 20% more when we're in a war, because it's important.
But imagine right now, what would it happen? Yes. How would the economy be if what you say, that governments need more for war? Like they really say right now, yes, we're going to fight each other like crazy. Yeah, the East and the West, or Russia against America, or whatever you want to call it.
But that would be, you know, nuclear winter.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
I think we've reached the point in destruction where we can only fight inferior countries, because if we try to put a world war with, you know... our technology. Our technology in bomb making has gone so advanced that if we try to get the big bucks and make a world war, it would destroy us. You know, there's no denying that. There's no way to survive a nuclear winter. You know.
That's when it comes to the question. Do you think if right now there would be a war between two nuclear power countries,
no.
My point is that even if they have the capability of doing it, I don't think that they would do it.
No, it's not profitable for them.
No, that's the problem. That's my point. That the thing is that even if they had the nuclear weapons there, yes. I think that they would. That's why. Why do you think right now they're still developing like super tanks and super aircraft and super everything? Because at the end of the run, they know that if they have a fight with Russia, it's not profitable to Russia to throw a nuclear weapon to the United States, and neither the other way.
Yeah.
So how are you going to do it? You're going to do it with good weapons and whatever you want to call it. But the 1940s way, you know?
Yeah.
We go with tanks, we cover our lines, and as the art of war said, every ditch is a defense, and then we actually just cover it.
But I don't think that there's any possibility of us going to war with Russia, for example. Like, I don't think that would happen. But I think, for example, India and Pakistan, because... You know, if there is a lizard government or whatever like this, they have to see that we can't be growing our population anymore. We've reached the peak, you know. At the moment, the amount of resources we consume on Earth yearly, we need another planet, the same size of, like, an identical Earth. We need that to support the amount of people we have living and the amount of resources that we
consume. Yeah, there's another population.
Yeah, for sure.
Brutal.
But, you know... The Western countries, where all the money is at the moment, they don't want to, you know, they don't want to die. They don't want their people to die. They want money from our people, you know. But there is a problem of overpopulation, so I wouldn't, you know, I bet they'll start a war and, you know, nuke each other in India and Pakistan. They've had this dispute for so long already.
Yeah.
You know.
But the thing is that, for example, I think that the most possible nuclear disaster that can happen is not because of that, but it's because of religious warfare. Yes, for me, for in my particular view, it's easy, and don't deny me this, but it's easier for Israel get destroyed, yes, by some Arab country than anywhere else getting a nuclear blast from somewhere.
Well, it's more likely that Israel will nuke... You know, iron or something.
You know what? I found this very interesting the other day. I was reading, and it's crazy. On 2012,
you were telling
the lease of the
Temple Mount
is released.
But we were talking about this last time, and I was asking for sources that time. And actually, I was listening to that podcast again, and I went to Wikipedia. I went through all the pages. I even put the same exact thing you were saying on the podcast. I put that on Google. And I didn't find anything.
For what? For the
lease expiring.
For the lease.
Yeah.
I heard it in a document. I think I was even with Bear when I heard it. Yes, that the lease of the Temple Mount ends in the first decade of 2000. Mm. Yes, that is 2012. Supposed.
If anyone's listening is not sure what we're talking about, we're talking about the... The Temple of Solomon, which was a Jewish temple or a Christian temple, which was when the Muslims invaded Egypt or Bethlehem or something like this. When the Muslims came, they conquered. They supposedly destroyed this temple.
No, they did. They destroyed the temple.
Well,
we
don't know if there's been a temple. Because I was reading about this and they don't actually know.
Well,
they just claim that there was a temple.
They destroyed supposedly a monument. They know that there was a monument because there's a very big ass rock.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
A massive rock, like Greek style, that is like 5 tons. That it builds up for a base of something that is very big. And the thing is that there. Supposedly, the Muslims say that it were Muhammad ascended to heaven.
Yeah.
And they have the rock there where there's some black meteor that nobody has.
No, that's Mecca.
No, yeah, that's Mecca. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, but Muhammad did.
But Muhammad did ascend it there, and supposedly the thing is that it's also a holy place because it's where supposedly Jesus is going to return.
I just know that the Jews think it's going to be the third temple or something like that. They call this third something, third temple or something like this. And what you were saying in the previous podcast was that the Israeli government has the lease on the grounds and that it's ending on 21st of December next year or something like this.
Yeah.
But I was researching this after because I was interested. I like this kind of stuff. So I started searching for it, but there was nothing. No documentation, no mentions in Wikipedia. And I spent a solid 1.5 hours just going through Wikipedia, which might be a bit sad to the listeners.
No, but I agree. I saw it in a documentary in TV, and I was, saying what I saw in the documentary. Yeah, and it's the fact that the lease ends and they own it in some way because it's on Israeli side. I haven't researched it myself. I have to look at it. Well, it's on some history channel, so if there's no proof against it, then it might be true.
Is that your opinion or your point of view?
What?
Is that your opinion?
Oh, dude, you're still on that?
That's my conception.
Whoa!
Let's take a third player.
Nice comeback.
Is that your conception?
Yeah.
Then I concur.
Like philosophers have this thing when they want actually to really be like keen about it. It's my cosmovision.
What? Cosmovision.
Yes, it's like your. It's a word, they invented it.
This is an unacceptable horse crap.
Have you seen this girl in YouTube that is very famous? How is the food cooked?
It's cooking in the oven.
Okay. Have you seen this Russian girl she's from Novgorod? From Najin.
So? Yeah.
Well, the thing is that she immigrated to the States.
Okay.
And she has a YouTube channel. She's one of the ones that has the most views in YouTube. And she has the channel called Hot for Words. And she's a linguist and she teaches you the meaning of the words in English and Latin, how they come from. And she teaches you Russian. And then she wears like these very sexy costumes and everything, and then he's a hot teacher teaching you the etymology of words and then words in Russian.
Okay.
Marina Orlova, I think is her name.
I don't know her.
You haven't seen her?
Yeah. I think I'll jump in with part two of the podcast.
Well,
we have the chicken ready. It's happening. We'll be back. Now we're back for part three of podcast number six. Still the whole crew present. We're well fed.
Yeah, we had some nice conversations actually while we were cooking and doing the dinner. That unfortunately we didn't record.
Who's willing to argue with me over the last chicken wing?
I know you can take the last chicken wing. Yeah. I for me it's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was really looking for an argument. I was trying to pick a fight with one.
He was trying to see the point of view or their opinion on the subject.
In my opinion, you can have it.
I'm so crusty.
Dimitri goes for the. Isn't it nice, the crumble?
Yeah,
the crust that it makes. Just a whole flavor, I think.
This is a flavor. I think we have to let other people know about this, so I think you can look forward to this in our blog.
Yeah.
It's
a secret recipe.
Is it a secret recipe?
That disjointed recipe.
It's a disjointed recipe. Yeah.
We'll just get it copyrighted, when it starts selling, we'll have the timestamp. It is from us. We
exactly. Somebody becomes famous on it, then just acknowledge that.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
We have it documented in our blog.
Yeah. Time-wise.
Yes. In our bellies.
Yeah, in our bellies.
In our bellies, exactly.
You'll feel it tomorrow.
Yes, we keep the secret recipe in the belly of a gnome in a safe in Sri Lanka.
Besides, we in the island that we have our hosting service.
Yeah. But we have this disjointed .tk.
Yes.
So is .tk, is that like Turkmenistan or?
No, it's the.
It's an island in the South Pacific.
It's an island in the South Pacific called.
Toka.
Yeah.
It's a territory from New Zealand and is Tokelau.
Okay.
Yeah, Tokelau. And the thing is that. The thing is that supposedly this small country houses like a lot of the services for a lot of the servers for the big companies like Procter & Gamble and General Electric and everything. So even if you get .coms, there's whole things.
Like the main thing is that they offer free domain registration.
Yeah.
And you're allowed up to 3 domains per person.
No, you're allowed up to 15 domains.
15 domains.
Per person. And of course you also, and then you have not only domain, but also domain forwarding and email forwarding to the domain. So.
But I think, I'm not sure if it was .tk, but some one of these domains, they were saying that for this island, I think it's even a nation. That is not just like Okinawa or not this Tokawa or what if that's part of New Zealand.
It says that it's a territory of New Zealand.
Yeah, but I think there's a country, you know, actual country, and I think they were saying that the domain name they get from this country.
Oh.
They sold it, and it's the most income, you know, the biggest source of income for this country. Because they get money from it all the time, you know. So they're basically renting it out.
But that's the one of the main incomes of the company: the internet selling of this thing. I'm looking at
for the
right
country
now,
or the country.
Right now, and yeah, you're right. It's a country, and it's 10 kilometers square.
Yeah.
The island, and the population is 1,400, and from that 1,400. Six hundred and sixty people work on the domain home. So what is it like? 40% of the population of the country are the ones that run the servers, and then the other ones just sell the shit and then make the electricity run in that island.
Yeah.
That's it. The other and 300 are children.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. But I think there was something else than .tk as well. It's just some really.
What is a .ws?
What?
.ws, what's that?
.ws?
It sounds like an African country.
Yeah, it sounds like.
BS?
Or WS?
WS? Maybe.
Let's see.
Botswana?
I was thinking Botswana, but.
Yeah. WS?
Anything?
For Samoa. Where is Samoa?
Samoa?
That's
in the
Pacific.
Pacific, yeah. It's near Hawaii, sort of.
I don't think it's that near.
Between Japan and Hawaii.
Yeah. It's insane, but did you know that the distance from, for example, from Japan to Los Angeles, that's the same distance almost as from Japan to, like, the Middle East or something like this. You don't really. It's hard to grasp the size of the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
I think it's almost twice the Atlantic, maybe even more.
Oh yeah, it's huge.
And then there's the great garbage patch. Or,
oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's massive.
Yeah, size of Texas. Mm. We were talking about that.
But actually, I've read like latest statistics, and they say by the mass, it's no bigger than the Hawaii Islands, but it's way smaller than Texas.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the Texas is this common misunderstanding or something that everybody keep telling that's the size of Texas, but, you know, it's...
Maybe if you put it together, because I have seen that there's, like, patches, you know, there's, like, because the currents, like, divide the patches together and then there's, like, bigger patches.
It might just be that, because in the middle of it, there's a higher concentration of plastic than at the edges, so maybe it's depending on what concentration you have to where you measure it. Because they might have it for, who knows, thousands of kilometers even, that you might find a really small concentration.
Yeah, but it's like an iceberg. What I was looking is like an iceberg. Well, it's similar principle. They were showing that like, you look at the upper part and you might see just like a, you know, like a small 1 square kilometer island, but that means that under it there is like 5 meters going down of the same shape. Like it's like an iceberg kind of style, you know, that it's bigger underwater than what you see on top.
Yeah, but what I've heard is that there's this bigger. It's when plastic goes into the sea, what happens is that the sun breaks it down, but it can only go so small. So there's small particles of plastic, and how it works is that in the middle of the garbage patch, that's where the newest plastic is, where it's the thickest. Because that hasn't been dissolved by the sun and the water yet. And on the edges, it's the most decayed one. That it's the smallest particle. So it's basically that the big clumps are in the middle, and then when it gets dissolved, it gets, you know, spread out.
Yeah.
That's whatever.
Are there any coconuts growing in there?
I don't think it's a solid island, you know.
There,
seriously.
They're going to start to discover that diamonds start to appear from the collision of plastic.
But actually, when I was in Indonesia, I think there was a coconut on the shore, and it just like started to sprout out of it.
Yeah.
And it was like still in the water.
Yeah.
So I think maybe they can start growing.
Yeah.
You know, if you get enough coconuts, or they somehow get lodged, maybe they do start growing. Who knows?
But that means they would be growing in a without soil atmosphere.
Well, they get plastic. Some of the nutrition out of it.
Yeah, but
the
and like
so,
dead,
yeah, so they don't get
fish.
You know, this big, and then they die.
I'm sure
that just the nutrition they find out of the coconut.
I'm sure that plastic could be a medium where
it could be
bacteria
possible.
Grows in.
Well,
like it's just like you
but
know,
but
like,
if there was bacteria,
fish could be around in there, and they like eat some plastic. And
yeah,
die.
Then
yeah,
die.
But
and then they collect, they sit in the garbage and. Break
but,
down when bacteria.
Yeah, but you have a small problem, and is this the those trees, even though that they're so close to the sea, they still don't take salt water per se. It needs to be like.
Yeah,
but
they
I think
filter.
In that place there
but
would
it,
be a lot of moisture.
Yeah, and it'll probably rain.
Well, it might rain there because the
it just hasn't gotten like big
is
enough.
Is
to grow
is the Pacific? Is the Pacific Ocean so. It's very Pacific. There's
no,
no
but the plastic, because it won't reflect all the light, so I'll get like temperature growing there, and that would make humidity. So who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
If I had money, maybe I could like airdrop some coconuts and create a scientific study.
I think you'd have a better place to put your money then. Maybe try to like get the plastic out of there, right?
Well, I could buy a sailboat.
Or then you could just plant the coconut trees.
Sail around to the Pacific and plant some coconuts out there in the trash.
Did you hear about that? This was a couple of weeks ago, the biggest wave ever surfed. I think it was 90 feet tall or something.
I heard about that. I saw it in the headlines.
Wow.
Yeah.
90 feet. That guy is a madman.
Yeah.
Did they say the name of the dude?
Yeah, yeah, they he survived it.
What is what's his name?
I don't remember.
He's a
very famous surfer. But if you think about it, if there's 30 feet of wave, or 90 feet, I'm not sure if it was 30 or 90.
Bro,
90 feet sounds better.
My question with those waves, how do they measure them?
From the
in the moment that let's say that it happens now. Yeah, but let's say that it's happening right now. Yes. How do they measure them? Like how does the guy know that it was 90?
Well, they'll take a photograph, they'll compare it to the man who's surfing there, for example. It's not that.
Yeah, well, yeah, you could do that too.
When you know the distance, you get the angle, and then it's just basic math.
Yeah.
Was he surfing in competition, like when the wave came?
No, I think it was just, you know, they wanted to get the
biggest wave.
Yeah. It's funny, they're like dragging the guy with a jet ski first.
Yeah.
Because he has to be in such a high speed to catch the wave.
Yeah.
And then he lets go and then he just surfs it. And it was insane. There was like shitloads of water. Like he was in the barrel.
Yeah.
Like the wave started
collapsing.
And they
killed him inside?
Well, no, not inside, but like from a helicopter or something. And so the wave is collapsing on top of him, but he still goes through. But if you think about it, I'm not sure if it was 30 or 90 feet.
No,
still,
people die that way when a wave collapses.
Yeah, like no bigger wave,
it'll
be like a person punching you from above.
No,
like,
the weight that it carries.
It'll
you
hit
know?
You. It'll yeah. hit you. It'll pull you down and hit you against the coral, and the coral will.
Yeah, if it's that,
yeah.
you know, that shallow.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they do. That they take you underwater. Many people go because the best surf is when it's. When it's first deep, but then it gets really shallow really quick, because that's how waves form, that the whole mass of the water is moving, then it hits some, like, hits the earth, or, you know, when
and
it starts getting
yeah.
shallow, and then it pushes it up.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, waves do that. They take it straight down.
It's so dangerous to live out there, you know. No, really.
But surfing is really, really fun. I did that a lot in Australia, Indonesia. It's hard as anything that you can
imagine. I haven't tried surfing, like, I have tried windsurfing. Yes, we
can. Yeah, I've done that too.
Yeah, but not surfing, just normal surfing I have tried.
I've tried neither.
It's also really fun when you go behind the boat, you have the cord there.
Yeah, that's
basically what the jet ski was doing to the surfer, that you're just behind it, you hold on to it and just.
Yeah, that I have done. Yeah.
That's really fun.
That's fun. I never had done, even when we were doing that, there were some, you know, the ramps around, yeah. They asked us, do you want to pass? No, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can jump from the waves the motorboat, for example, creates.
Yeah, you do
but
that. You you do
I
bounce
would,
from
yeah,
those,
yeah.
yes.
I wouldn't go near them.
Exactly. You see the ramp, then the ramp is taller than the bloody
yeah,
boat you
yeah.
have on top, and... No, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not an expert on
how
the field.
How did the fence survive the hit of the trampoline, or, you know, the fence of the snowboard?
No, but they don't actually
surfboard.
Have it. Because they just glide on the top. They don't many times have anything on the bottom. Like surfboards do, but the ones you drag behind the...
Yeah, no, but those, you know, trampolines, the places, how would the fin...
Yeah, but you wouldn't use a surfboard. You wouldn't use anything that has a fin to go.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
The thing is that what you use in the one that you are like behind the boat is just a flat.
Yeah, it's
flat. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
There's one of them that they use when they're behind the boat that I have seen that when they want to really like go like catching air, almost flying, that it has like a really long. Like thin under it, and then it ends like on a cross.
Okay.
Yeah, like the thing is that you have the board over here, and then the thing is like the size of the is like the size of the board, and at the end it ends up like with a small thing like that.
Mm.
And then while you're accelerating, they push it like back, and then it starts going like higher, just with the thing like this, till the point that it reaches the other one, and the other one is going, and then you're almost going on top, and then you're gonna actually flip. They flip around and back and more.
That's cool.
Yeah,
it's also cool what they do is they have this, you know, big kite on top of them. There's nothing else dragging them but the kite.
But
in
the
there.
Kite, yeah.
And so they strap
like
themselves.
Snow.
Well, you can do it on snow. Many people do it on the ice. But many people do it in the water as well, that they have this big ass kite that just drags them around, and then they just, you know, launch from waves to 5 to 10 meters even, and do tricks, and then they, like, glide down with the, it's almost like a parachute, but it's the same thing as gliders when you jump from the mountain and you glide around, and if you get a hot air current, it'll push you back up. And
I don't know in what movie I saw, and I don't know if it's actually possible, but I saw this guy that was with a kite, but it was like this, like, two handheld really big kites, like something in between a parachute and a kite.
Mm-hmm.
And he had skis on it, and he was actually, like, in a plane completely getting pushed by the kite.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wanted to do that, and it was the point to advance.
Yeah, yeah.
You with skis and just the kite going like that, and Ken, he was just measuring the direction and then the height to get faster.
Mm-hmm.
He was going very fast. I don't remember what movie it was something from the 80s, but that looks so cool, you know, it just like going like that. I think he was with his backpack going somewhere.
Dimitri, when you were in Norway, did you see this Wing
Fu? I was trying to remember if it was James Bond.
Have you seen these? I was just having Dimitri in Norway. I've at least
seen that. That's crazy shit.
That people, like many people go there and they have these flying suits. It's like a
flying squirrel suit or something.
Like when they put their arms across it, it makes a wing for them.
Yes.
And those are insane. It's not to the point where they could glide with them, but they have so much more air resistance with, you know, doing the X figure with your body and basically making wings like that. They just glide, and they're so crazy movies.
Mm.
They go like in very, very narrow places through rock faces, and they go so close to the trees in some parts that they can, you know, touch them, and they just, you know, glide on through it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's, you know, the adrenaline rush you must get from that is like, wow.
There's a guy that I think he's Swiss, he has a play. He's the only man that has a two jet man suit.
Okay.
It's a guy that has a, it's like
a jet pack. He has a jet pack.
But it's a two jet pack. Like he has wings and shit, and it's even sponsored by this company that has watches for pilots. Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's completely black and yellow, his suit, with Bradley all over. Yeah, and then he has two turbines, and it's made out of carbon and aluminum, his thing, and then he goes like super fast and he can glide, but the only thing is that he needs to start from a helicopter, and then he drops himself with the kid, no parachute, not nothing, from the helicopter, and then when he's going down like this, he nose dive, and then he turns the shit on, yeah, and then he goes like,
shoo! That's cool.
Yeah, when I saw that, I'm like, how the fuck this guy has so balls to, what happens if that shit doesn't turn on? You're with like 100 kilos, and the guy is strapped like this, just going like.
But hey, if you have 100 kilos, or if you don't have anything, if you jump out of an airplane and you don't have a parachute, you're fucked anyways.
Actually, people have walked away from that.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was a Polish air.
But I think it depends.
They do it
where
all the
you,
time.
I think
not
it
all
depends.
The time.
I think it depends where you fall.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Like someone, I think this girl fell into the
bog.
Yeah, a bog or you know, on a field, which was really wet. So the mud was really wet, and so he just like dropped into the mud. And
that's why they say if you fall, many pilots and many people in like military aircraft have fallen in farms, and they don't get that hurt because they go through roof. Yes, and a wood roof is much easier to go through than to fall into the straight ground.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's really hard still.
I've seen like lately the video of a dude who was paragliding in India, I think, and there's some kind of eagle attacking his parachute on top, and like the eagle got stuck in the strobes, and the parachute started like going down, you know, literally.
Mm.
And he's like, you know, swearing up and calling his friends and opening up a second chute, and it works, and he lands almost like before, you know, hitting the ground.
Wow.
That's crazy. Christ.
Did he get to eat the eagle?
Yeah, yeah, but he had to, but he had to get, like, you know, get him free.
I'd find the second parachute and just go hit the eagle in the face.
I have never. I want to parachute one day.
Yeah, me too. There's been this, you know, these daredevils who jump out of the airplane without a parachute,
yeah, like,
and the midway they give you,
yeah. So there are other ones which literally throw away a parachute and then jump after it.
Yeah.
So that's like, I mean.
Yeah.
Have you seen the guy that parachute out of the these towers in Malaysia?
Yeah.
That they put him even in jail. The Red Bull. He was.
I've actually been
sponsored to the Red Bull, and he jumped. He without permission. He went to the highest that he could, like, in the bridge between the petrol towers.
Mm.
Yeah, and then he jumped, and then he got arrested in the moment that he went.
But he's been doing that everywhere. I think he even jumped the...
The Golden Gate Bridge. He has done many. The Eiffel Tower.
But I don't think... I think they just let him go. Like, it was cool.
But they arrest him anyway,
you
know, because he didn't ask for...
I think it's on Vimeo. There's a... I think it's called Under City. I remember I posted this. It might be even a year ago. But they're in New York. And what they do there is that they go into the metro tunnels, and there's actually abandoned, you know, metro stations, and then they also go into the sewers, and they find the oldest sewers in New York, and, you know, they just go into some park, and they rip the cover open, and they go into the sewers there, and they climb some of the bridges there. I think it's the Brooklyn Bridge, the really old one. They climb on top of that and shit like this. It's really cool, and it's, you know, underground, so they don't have any permissions. They just, you know, they go. And I think it's the same guy who was doing these parachute jumps from these buildings.
But on the same line, have you seen also the first one that started this in the 1950s? The guy, the first one that did something like that was this guy that, without permission,
walking between the Twin Towers.
Hey guys, have I ever told you the story of the Richmond money train?
No.
Well, in Richmond, Virginia, there was this old train track, and it went through the side of the hill and out the other side, and it was built in like the 1800s. So it's really old train track. Anyways, one day there was this train going through with you know, carrying passengers, and it had other things on there, and there was also a lot of money on the train, and it was going through the tunnel, and the tunnel completely collapsed, and ever since then the train's been buried, and no one's actually you can't get to the train.
Why?
Because it's like the tunnel is really unstable, so they can't dig it out.
Yeah, so it's kind
of... Why take out the train? Just take out the shit that's in there.
But every once in a while, when you're in Richmond, you meet someone that's actually like snuck inside the tunnel, and so sometimes you're like sitting.
And that sounds too much like an urban myth.
Yeah.
No. It's not an urban myth because the train is there.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. But the train is in the tunnel. They haven't dug it out. The people on the train are buried in the tunnel.
Okay.
Nice.
For all of eternity. Yeah. Mm. It's a cool urban legend. It is. But it's based on fact. I mean, the people.
And that's in Virginia?
Yeah, it's in the capital city.
Hmm.
The birthplace of Edgar Allan Poe, or like someplace Edgar Allan Poe lived there. So, yeah. It's a really historic city. It's cool.
Right. And I think on that note, we'll end part 3 of the podcast.
Oh!
I think it takes pretty loud. Okay, we're back for part 4 of podcast number 6.
What was this, Bjork?
Feist.
Feist. We're listening to some tunes from YouTube. We've got a singer with
Dimitri,
us.
Dimitri is a... He's a... A closet singer, maybe. A shower singer.
Shower. Yeah, next podcast will be accomplished with my guitar.
Yeah, definitely. He learned guitar by himself. Yeah. So he has some... He took... I was surprised one day because I remember that I saw him one weekend and he had never heard the version of Johnny Cash of One.
I've heard, I didn't play it.
No, that's the thing. You have I show it to you, you have never heard it, then 3 weeks later I come to your place. Yes, and then you tell me, I have something to show you. And then he takes out his guitar, and then he plays the song, and then he took it just from hearing it.
Mm.
I was like, wow, that was...
I remember that.
It was well played, well done.
But I don't know. What do we have set up for part 4? Should we just...
No, we want to make a conclusion to everything because we didn't want to say goodbye to the people.
I would say that, you know, a person who has enough balls to listen to this conversation that far, you know, would definitely would love to join the next podcast that we're going to be recording and, you know, subscribe and listen to some really, you know, latest bullshit ever. So...
Well, I think that you have many friends that are trippy enough that would like to listen to this joint conversation.
Yeah,
for sure. I was one of those friends, you know, that I joined in. You know,
yeah, exactly.
You never know how.
You see?
Yeah, if you're a listener and you haven't found us yet, go to Facebook, search for Disjointed Podcast. You can find us www.facebook.com/disjointedpodcast altogether. You'll find us there, like us there. We post a lot of news, a lot of updates. Just follow us there.
We try to.
Or you can now subscribe to us on iTunes. You can find us there with Disjointed Podcast as well. And there you can find all our new podcasts that we'll be doing weekly.
And we try to bring more international and then interesting guests like Dimitri.
Thanks, I was so, you know, grateful to blend in.
No, you were one of the first ones that asked me, when are you doing the podcast? Yes, I want to join, so that's why you were one of the first ones considering.
Yeah, there's always interesting stories with you around, so whenever you feel like it, just, you know, let us know, and we'll for sure have you back on.
We have one last thing, actually, that is even though we did actually talk about everything when we said what we were going to talk about tonight, with the exception of one thing, that it was the last one, that is Bear's proposition of a last subject to end the conversation, and I think it was quite interesting. Things that make you go
no.
That wasn't tobacco.
That was my answer. What makes me go
What makes you go That's an interesting subject, you know? What makes me go I think what makes me go is
long
if you're not ready to say, just can I jump in?
Yeah, be my guest.
Strippers.
Strippers make you go I was the about it. Like, how much do I get money to her? Or yeah, that's how
you
she
have
looked.
A peachy life.
I'm better than you. Your daddy treated you badly.
Okay. So
alright.
No, I agree.
Now can you tell us?
Things, one thing that makes me go, is when, I don't know if it has happened to you, but I have many times seen, let's say that a girl on the street or in a bar, pretty girl, looks decent, very decent. Yes?
Yeah, let's say between an 8 and an 11. Yeah, because you can categorize it up to a 13 or something like that. But yeah, but that's... but let's say that a very pretty girl.
Yeah.
Yes, and you see that pretty girl, very decent girl. But at some point, let's say that either in the conversation or while she's moving around and everything, and then you just see the verge somewhere of either a tattoo or a piercing or something that pops out. I have been in the situation that I've been talking with somebody that I don't know, and then when they turn around, yes, I just see that
the tramp stuff.
No, like in the shirt that is tied, even with the bra that they had, you can see that the you can see the nipple, and then you can see the piercing of the way that the top, like, pops out. My point is that all those, like, either you look at the girl and you don't think that the girl. Well, like, that points that the girl has, like, a, you know, a darker side to
dark
her.
Passenger.
Well, you know, she's on you know. Yeah, I don't know if you understand where I'm going.
Basically,
on.
The old Catholic girl.
Yeah,
thing,
exactly.
You know,
the Catholic,
they're
it's
always
kinky.
Fucked up, yeah.
I would call it kinky.
Okay,
yeah.
So kinky shit makes you go,
Not kinky shit, yes. Seeing a kinky sign on a good girl, on what I would would call a girl that you wouldn't expect that, you know,
yeah.
A girl that actually turns around, and then you see like just in the bottom a tattoo like this, and the girl is like with glasses and talking to you about the stock exchange and shit.
Yeah,
yes, and
yeah.
Turns around and you're like,
well, just a tattoo, man.
Okay, Tommy, it's your turn.
I do want to continue in this. That's a really good one. You know. When you have a really decent argument with someone,
yeah,
and it's a girl, and then she does something, you know, it might not even be something that she has on her. Let's say that she really seems classy somehow, like really classy, like, you know, a Finn Swedish that you think would be like noble and know how to act everywhere, but then he somehow breaks conduct really badly, you know, like. It's a really nice dinner party, and she burps or something like that.
Yes, yes, yeah.
You know,
that's happened to me. Yeah, in yeah.
It makes you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. Totally agree.
But that was yours. So mine is, you know, there's sometimes when you have an argument with someone, and not like your normal person, you'd have an argument with, like, which would be both sided. But you have an argument, for example, with a deeply religious person, you know, one of these, do they call them Tea Party or something like this in the States? That, like,
tea burgers?
No. But, you know, really, really religious, and it's, you just think you'll win the argument so easy, and you basically trash the other person for a really long while, and you just think you've won it, and then he says something really smart that comes out of the blue, and then you're like... you don't know how to act because you know, it seems that the other person hasn't had anything smart to say for a long time. But then he, you know, this brilliance shines through, and they're like, you know, have I judged the person incorrectly? Like, is the other person actually really smart, and, you know, I'm the fool for, you know.
That is true.
Yeah. That's my, you know.
I agree. Well, there's a couple of other things that made me go, The fact that, and we were talking about this also the other time, in, I think, the last podcast or the previous one, how is it bloody possible that a person that believes that you're gonna be taken to planet whatever and be mated with 100 virgins there could become president or representative of any kind of government. That makes you go, And that makes you go in two ways. One, who the fuck put that motherfucker there? That's the first.
Yes.
Who supports that guy to be representing
and
anybody?
Who's gonna vote for?
Yeah, exactly. First, how does the guy? And then, even though that the guy is there, how the heck does that guy also presume that faith, yes, knowing that he's representing government? First, you question, why did you put that guy there? Because, first of all, you know, that guy is cuckoo, you know?
Mm.
He's not well. That's the first thing. I wouldn't put a guy... I would prefer that the guy at least...
Which guy are you talking about?
What?
Whichever guy.
Whichever
any guy.
In my mind,
I don't want to. I don't want to name religions. The only religion that I can actually name here might be Scientology, because I know that they don't have a good presence here, so I'm okay. But the other ones, yes, I just say that there are some of them that are very cuckoo.
Mm.
They're very out from reality, and then there's people that really represent those religions, claim the facts for those religions, and even embrace those religions in politics. Yes, and that makes you go, how the fuck are those people representing people there when it, you know, nothing to do with it, and they're just harming everybody?
There's a funny joke in this. It's you know, when they call you and they ask you for a poll, for example, you know, where they ask many people for something. And for me, example, when someone calls me, I just, you know, put the phone down. I have better things to do than answer their polls. So is it only the dumbass people who don't have anything better to do who answer the phones and they tell you that they believe in God or something like this? So.
Yeah, they don't really get a good sample of the population.
Yeah. You'd think that. I wouldn't answer probably.
I don't answer. Like, I've been called when someone's running for governor in my state. I've actually picked up the phone, and it's like the guy, one of the guys running for governor, and he's like looking, he's desperately looking for votes, so he's calling everyone in the area code. So I picked up the phone and I was like, I'm running for governor. I'm like, I really don't have time to talk to you right now. And it's like, are you a voting age? I'm hanging up the phone.
You sell magazines? He's like, you tell the guy, okay, let me think about it and give me your house number. And the guy's like, I don't give you my house number. Why? Oh, because I don't like you to call my house. Oh, now you know how I feel, motherfucker.
That's good.
So, yeah, you know, like, you don't like turn down the opportunity to like give a piece of your mind to someone that's running for governor. You know, like they call you up and it's like, hi, I'm a candidate running for election. I would like to try and get your vote. I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. I'm too busy.
I think on that note, I think it's time to end.
Yeah, Dimitri, thank you very much.
Thank you. And I will come back in the next episode of the Jungle Conversations, probably with the guitar.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yes.
You can actually put us with an introduction and then
you can try to mimic our intro.
Yeah, you free it.
Sure.
Great.
So, subscribe to us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook. If you like listening to us, go to our blog page, click a couple ads. It won't harm you. It'll give us a couple cents. Maybe we'll get some proper mics eventually.
Yeah, with your help.
Yep. Yeah, we appreciate it.
The more pleased you make.
Just listening to us means a lot, so thanks for listening. Tune in later. Thanks.
It is Jointed Podcast.